Jury selection begins tomorrow here in Washington in the trial of former White House aide Louis Scooter Libby, who faces charges of perjury and obstruction in a case that dates back to 2003. That's when the identity of former CIA operative Valerie Plame was leaked to reporters. That after her husband criticized the Bush administration's pre-war intelligence on Iraq. Vice President Dick Cheney and members of the news media are expected to testify in a case that not so long ago transfixed official Washington. In a few minutes, David Folkenflik of NPR News will join us, but we turn first to Matthew Felling, Media Director at the Center for Media and Public Affairs, here with us in Studio 3A. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nations.
Hi there, Neil.
And we'd also like to hear from any of you who have questions about the case against Scooter Libby. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And Matthew Felling, a lot of the energy and excitement about this case evaporated once we learned the name of the leaker.
A lot of the energy was sucked out of the room just over the course of time when Judith Miller had to go to jail first and foremost, because it was very clear that what had started out as a Moby Dick tale, where you could tell that prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald was really going after some seriously big fish, it just got whittled down to, you know, one of those weekend bass fishing tournaments. And now here we have the Scooter Libby trial, where it's not even talking about obstructing justice or being part of an information campaign. Now we've gotten it all the way whittled down, as I said, to perjury. He either fudged, he either misled the people, or he just misspoke. And it's not even that there's a thousand angels trying to dance on that pin of a needle. It's the corroborating evidence will show or will not that Scooter Libby had participated in these conversations, and he had misled people about the nature of them. And Fitzgerald definitely has his work cut out for him, but he has shown to be very thorough in the past.
Well, let's remind listeners that this goes back to Ambassador Joseph Wilson, who was assigned by the Bush administration to go over and look into reports that the government of Niger had sold yellow cake, that a precursor to uranium fuel for nuclear weapons, to the Iraqis. He came back with the conclusion that this was not likely to have happened at all. Indeed, almost certainly did not happen. Yet the assertion that it had happened ended up still in the president's State of the Union address one year. He cited British sources. But anyway, Ambassador Wilson then wrote an op-ed in the newspapers that said the Bush administration was twisting facts that it knew to be wrong to make its case on Iraq. Then a few days after that, the name of Ambassador Wilson's wife, Valerie Plame, was leaked to the news media as a CIA agent. She was an undercover operative. The allegation was that her name was leaked to get back at Joe Wilson for going after the Bush administration.
Yeah, excellent. That's a great summation. No, it all started out with those 16 words in the State of the Union from 2003. And then Joe Wilson wrote something in the New York Times, which basically said, listen, you're being misled on this, everybody. And then within, actually, it was 8 days later, Robert Novak had a column written where he outed Valerie Plame as being the wife of this gentleman, Joseph Wilson. And from then, there was a lag time between when that story came out and when people really started to get upset about it. So it took, you know, a good 4, 5, 6 months before we really learned in D.C. to get exercised by this case. And this is when Patrick Fitzgerald was brought on, and it became a cause lib celeb here in Washington, D.C., where everybody was sure that we were either going to get Karl Rove investigated in this case, or we were going to see Dick Cheney brought in. And even though Dick Cheney is going to come in to testify in this latest phase of the trial, he is basically just there to testify on Libby's behalf.
We're talking about the Scooter Libby case. I guess we should stop calling it the Valerie Plame case. The trial begins here in Washington, D.C. tomorrow. Our guest is Matthew Felling, Media Director for the Center for Media and Public Affairs. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And lest we leave our listeners in limbo, those who have not noticed that this case was resolved, it turned out that the leaker was not initially Scooter Libby, was not even initially Dick Cheney, or even initially the President of the United States. It was a State Department official, Richard Armitage.
Yeah, Richard Armitage, who is not seen as being one of the insiders in the White House administration at all. He was actually a chum of Colin Powell's back in the day. He came out, he mentions to some people in his office, he said, listen, I have some bad news for you. I think I might be the guy. And it turns out that he mentioned it in passing to Robert Novak, and he also mentioned it even earlier than that, I believe, with Bob Woodward. And Bob Woodward's going to be one of these Mount Rushmore characters who's going to be brought to the stand in this trial as well.
With us here in Studio 3, also David Folkenflik, NPR's media correspondent. David, nice to have you on the program as well.
Good to see you, Neil.
And this, what Matthew was just saying, this is a who's who of Washington journalism lined up on both sides, both all reluctant to testify, but they're all going to be there.
Oh, it's a ridiculous buffet of famous people in Washington. You'll see Andrea Mitchell and Tim Russert, Bob Woodward, as well as major government figures. I'm sure you've mentioned the vice president already.
Mentioned him, yeah.
You know, it's in some ways, it's this very interesting legal case that's going forward, prosecution, the cover-up instead of the fundamental crime being alleged. But in another way, it's a fascinating window into this world, how government works behind the scenes to do damage control, how the media tries to figure out what's going on, thinks it's getting access, maybe is getting played. It's a real window into a world that both institutions are often very hesitant to let out into the open.
Let's see if we can get a caller on the line. This is Matt. Matt with us from Fairbanks, Alaska.
Yeah, Colin, how come no one's going after Richard Armitage or the original leaker, and they're going after seemingly the secondary issue?
Matt, why aren't they going after the leaker, Richard Armitage, as opposed to Scooter Libby, a leaker of the second degree, if that?
That's going to be actually one of the main cases made by Libby's defenders, because they're going to say, listen, this is obviously just they're out to get Libby, because if they really were after this investigation was really about the leak, they would be bringing in Armitage. And actually, Fitzgerald filed a motion that he didn't want Armitage even brought up in the case anymore, because this is no longer about the Valerie Plame, as you mentioned earlier. It is now just about whether or not Scooter Libby testified incorrectly and knowingly under oath earlier on when he was saying, you know what, this is how the conversation went. I was talking to Tim Russert, and he mentioned Valerie Plame out of nowhere. And Tim Russert's going to come back and say, that's really not quite the way it went. And there was also, I believe, Dick Cheney had cut out the Joseph Wilson op-ed in the New York Times and said, you know what, he actually wrote on it in his own handwriting, let's get to the bottom of this, or let's find out more about this, which is really going to become incriminating.
David Folkenflik?
Well, in terms of Richard Armitage, Armitage came forward pretty much right away when he figured out that he may well have been the initial leak of that information. That kind of cooperation with a prosecutor, that kind of full and immediate disclosure, goes a long way to indicate that there's no effort to mess with the investigation itself. There are two crimes that are actually pretty difficult to prove in court. One is this espionage case, the question of whether or not you've actually done something that violated a very narrowly written federal law about covert agents. The other is proving perjury and obstruction of justice. Those can be difficult ones, too. Fitzgerald, Prosecutor Fitzgerald, is going after that latter basket of charges against Scooter Libby, and he's going to have to prove that. Armitage hasn't fallen afoul of the prosecutor in that way, and therefore he's not really in his sights.
Matt, thanks very much for the call. We just have a few seconds left. Matthew, let me ask you, without the juice of getting after the leaker, is this going to be the compelling drama that a lot of people in Washington either feared or hoped it would be?
No, all the wind has been sucked out of the sails on this one, and it's going to be a parable, not only in the high-minded sense that David wanted to talk about it being a really interesting tale, but it's also going to be one more little bit of, you know, raw meat that America is going to see, and they're going to think, you know what, all these people inside the Beltway, they're so chummy with each other, they're just rubbing elbows at cocktail parties, and it'll probably just, you know, lead America just continue to think what they think of us inside the Beltway.
David?
I'd largely think that that's true, but I'd add two little caveats, one of which is it'll be fascinating to see somebody as senior as the Vice President of the United States having to talk about this publicly and under oath. And in the second realm, it's sort of a bookend. This, after all, was something that occurred as a scandal at the start of the war. We're now seeing sort of the end game beginning to play out here in Washington.
NPR's David Folkenflik, also Matthew Felling of the Center for Media and Public Affairs. Thanks to you both. I'm Neil Conan. This is NPR News.